Penguin Random House Audio presents How Can I Help You? By Laura Sims. Read for you by Carlotta Brenton and Maggie Meg Reed. For Mona and her profanely inspiring advice. In the library, time is dammed up. Not just stopped, but saved. The library is a gathering pool of narratives and of the people who come to find them. It is where we can glimpse immortality. In the library, we can live forever. Susan Orlean, The Library Book. Who has not asked himself at some time or other, am I a monster? Or is this what it means to be a person? Clarice Lispector, The Hour of the Star. It is madness to write things down. Elizabeth Bowen, The Death of the Heart. 1. Working like the devil. Margot. The moment I walked through the front door, I knew. That deep, abiding quiet, and the sense that the outside world couldn't reach me here. I was like someone chased by demons across the threshold of a church, stepping into the library that first time. I could have turned around right there at the door and stuck my tongue out at the world. Can't catch me. I didn't do it. And besides, the world wasn't watching. Couldn't find me anyway, could it? I'd already changed my hair and makeup, my clothes, my voice, and even the way I walked. I'd changed my name, too. I'd been Jane, but I was Margot now. I liked Margot. Jane would have turned and stuck her tongue out, but Margot never would. No, Margot simply stood in the vestibule, shoulders back and head held high, like a queen. I hadn't spent much time in libraries before then. It was quiet as a nighttime ICU ward, maybe quieter, without all the noise that goes with slow dying, the whoosh of respirators, the mechanical beeps of infusion pumps. I stared up at the high vaulted ceiling, and around at the egg-white walls, then sat down at one of the public computers. I checked the want ads, and saw one for circulation clerk right there at the Carlisle Public Library. I toiled over a cover letter and resume for an hour or so, then handed them in at the desk. I was so happy to see this job come up, I said to the stout red-haired woman there. She seemed managerial, but I learned later that Liz was just a regular staff member. I can't imagine a more peaceful work environment, I went on, waving my arm around. She chuckled a bit, as if I'd said something funny. But from what I could tell, the library was just that, quiet, anonymous, orderly, and sane. From the grandness of the old building to the way the light slanted through the high windows that afternoon, I knew I'd landed in a cozy, carpeted, outdated vault, and I loved it on sight. The job was what I wanted, too, helping people. Not the way I'd helped them before at the hospital, but still, I would be serving others. When I glanced around at the careworn souls sitting at the monitors that day, I'd known there would be plenty of work for me here, plenty of helping to do. Liz and I struck up a conversation. I told her how long I'd been in town, how much I was enjoying the weekend farmer's market, though I hadn't even been, and the birdsong outside my window every morning. She seemed like the birdwatching type. I told her I'd seen cardinals, wrens, and woodpeckers. though the only birds I'd really seen were the pigeons in the parking lot of my Soviet-era apartment complex, pecking at the ground. I told her a tale about moving from Indianapolis, where all I could hear was the roaring river of cars. I told her I'd hated it, hated the overrated canal walk and the seedy downtown, and had moved for a much-needed change. Liz and I were laughing like old friends before long, and she said she'd put in a good word for me. And now, here I am, 2 years later, checking out patrons' books, DVDs, and audiobooks, answering their questions about overdue fees with patient grace, policing the computers where I myself sat that first day, making sure the guy in the baseball hat who comes in on Fridays doesn't watch porn while he's pretending to job search. I understand now why Liz chuckled that first day. The library is peaceful, on the whole, but disturbances happen. Patrons shout into their cell phones, throw tantrums over lost books, or hide half-naked in hidden corners of the stacks. I'm never bored here, the way I thought I might be when I first arrived. I sneak up behind Friday Guy, as we've come to call him, and lean right over his shoulder so my breath is hot on his neck. "Hey," I say. He jumps and fumbles, tries to click screens to cover up the giant tits I just saw bouncing before my eyes. Then he looks up, red-faced, sweating even in the cold of the main room. "You know the rules," I say, drawing up to my full height.
"Yes, ma'am."
I feel a deep tickle when he calls me ma'am and obeys me like a scolded dog. "I'm watching you," I tell him.
"Yes, ma'am."
He blinks up at me with his sad gray eyes. After a long pause, I walk away. Liz and the younger clerk, Nazreen, watch me return to the desk, triumphant.
"You're amazing," Nazreen says, shaking her head in wonder.
I just shrug. "You should have seen the double D's he was ogling today," I say, lifting my eyebrows. Nazreen covers her mouth as we all stand there, the two of them giggling like children. I don't even bother being discreet. I'm laughing my deep laugh when Friday Guy slinks past the desk, still red-faced, carrying plastic bags full of loose papers as usual. Every time I think, he won't come back. He'll find some other unsuspecting branch, one without a Margot. But every Friday he's there, eyeing those tits, waiting for me to catch him. I guess he likes the game of it. I like the game of it, too. My nipples, tucked inside my padded bra, get hard every time we perform our little ritual. It isn't like my hospital days, but it's better than nothing. I had to earn this swagger, though. I didn't start out swishing through the aisles, expertly managing Friday Guy and others. When I first started, I was clueless, fumbling, and forgetful. I made rushed notes on a legal pad, things like, "Do not renew patrons' computer time more than once for more than an hour." Password for scanner is "Scan this." Checkout forms for hotspots and tablets in drawer to my right. Must take elderly/infirm patrons downstairs in elevator with smallest key on ring. Call the non-emergency police number for someone acting out but not dangerous. Call 911 for someone dangerous to himself or others. The last two items tickled me. But I'd held my face still as Yvonne, our director, explained what could differentiate one situation from another. Realistic threats of violence, a weapon, suggested or in sight, crazed appearance or language. She used the male pronoun for every scenario she described, so I wrote it down. He. And she was right for the most part.
The only times I've punched the numbers 911 into the phone, it's been for men. Men?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?